This is the European Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the European Debrief by Atlas News, where we take an in-depth look at the latest stories from the region and show you their broader context. Starting off, in a recent development that has shaken European security, a 38-minute conversation between high-ranking German military officials was intercepted by Russian intelligence. This leak, considered one of Germany's worst intelligence failures, has sparked accusations and exposed potential vulnerabilities in Western support for Ukraine. The leaked call involved discussions of sensitive topics like German-made Taurus missiles, potential Ukrainian use of the missiles on the strategic Kerch Bridge linking Crimea to Russia, and the presence of individuals speaking with American accents, hinting at possible US involvement. While the leak is undeniably embarrassing for Germany, it doesn't necessarily prove direct German military involvement in the war. Russia, however, is seizing this opportunity to paint Germany as a deceitful ally and sow discord within European alliances. Analysts like Andreas Umland believe this might weaken German Chancellor Olaf Scholz's position and make further coordinated European action more difficult. Germany, more concerned with how the leak happened than the content itself, blames Cisco's WebEx platform for security flaws that allowed unauthorized parties to infiltrate the call. This incident raises questions about secure communication channels for critical discussions during a tense international situation. The leak also sheds light on Germany's previous reluctance to provide Ukraine with the Taurus missiles. Previously, Germany claimed these missiles could only be operated with German assistance, a statement potentially contradicted by the leaked discussions. Analysts believe this might embolden Ukraine to renew its request for the missiles. The presence of individuals with American accents in the conversation fuels speculation about US involvement beyond previously acknowledged support. While not definitive, it adds another layer of complexity to the already sensitive situation. Looking ahead, the impact of this leak remains unclear. Will it change the nature of German aid to Ukraine? Will it strain relations between European allies? These questions remain unanswered. One thing is certain. The leak has served as a stark reminder of the high stakes involved in the ongoing Ukraine conflict and the importance of secure communication channels for critical discussions on the world stage. Next, in a move signaling a potential shift in alliances, Armenia is mulling over applying for membership in the European Union. This comes amidst Armenia's growing estrangement from its traditional ally, Russia. Armenian Foreign Minister Ararat Mirzoyan hinted at the possibility during a recent interview with Turkish media. This follows a period of increasing closeness between Armenia and the EU. The EU has emerged as a vocal critic of Azerbaijan's actions against Armenia, deploying a monitoring mission and issuing condemnations. Notably, France, a key EU member, has been particularly supportive of Armenia, offering both diplomatic and military aid. This newfound alignment is likely fueled by Armenia's disappointment with Russia's perceived inaction during the recent clashes with Azerbaijan. Armenia accuses Russia of failing to fulfill its security obligations as part of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, CSTO. The path towards EU membership, however, is not without hurdles. Armenia faces the challenge of aligning its democratic institutions with EU standards, a process already underway with French and EU backing. This mirrors the recent success of Georgia, which was granted candidate status in December 2023, alongside Ukraine and Moldova. An Armenian membership bid would undoubtedly strain relations with Russia even further. Russia likely views this as a betrayal and a move towards the West's sphere of influence. The EU, on the other hand, sees an opportunity to strengthen its foothold in the region, offering itself as a security alternative to Russia. The EU's efforts to woo Armenia include the aforementioned monitoring mission, the offer of peacekeeping forces in Nagorno-Karabakh, and support for Armenian refugees. While France's military support is substantial, it doesn't fully match the security guarantees traditionally provided by Russia and the CSTO. Whether Armenia formally applies for membership remains to be seen. However, the very consideration of this move underscores the significant shift in Armenian foreign policy. The coming months will be crucial in determining how far Armenia is willing to go towards the West and how Russia will react to this potential realignment. Now confusion swirls around a Ukrainian airstrike targeting a suspected Russian launch control post, with claims that a high-ranking Russian military official may have been killed. Ukrainian Air Force Commander Oleshchuk announced a successful strike against an enemy control point, sharing a video depicting the destruction of a vessel named Mechanik Pogodin, allegedly used as a mobile command post. However, social media ignited with speculation after Ukrainian-linked accounts began circulating rumors that the strike eliminated Russian Airborne Forces Commander Colonel General Mikhail Teplinsky, alongside a prominent Russian military blogger known as 13th. Teplinsky, a decorated military leader who assumed command of the airborne forces in June 2022, is a central figure in the Russian military. Pro-Ukrainian outlets like Oboz.ua quickly reported his demise, while Russian-affiliated channels like Rusich_Army vehemently denied these claims. Further muddying the waters, reports of 13th's death were also circulating online. However, a video surfaced showing him alive and stating the reports were a special operation to identify Ukrainian agents. The lack of official confirmation from either Ukrainian or Russian defense ministries makes it impossible to verify these claims. This incident highlights the fog of war, where social media can become a battleground for disinformation alongside the physical conflict. Next, in a surprising turn of events, ethnic Russian paramilitary groups fighting alongside Ukraine have claimed responsibility for raids across the border into Russia's Belgorod and Kursk regions. The Freedom of Russia Legion and Siberian Battalion, aligned with Ukraine's Foreign Legion, allege control over some border areas. These claims contrast sharply with Russian media reports of repelled attacks. The Legion, in a video message, addressed Russian citizens directly, criticizing the war and claiming their intent is to free you from poverty and a dictatorship. They see themselves as legitimate representatives of the Russian people, opposing President Putin's regime. Fighting erupted in multiple locations along the border. The Legion released footage of operations, claiming control of a village on the Kursk border. Russian sources, however, report heavy casualties inflicted on the Legion and suggest the attacks were reconnaissance missions. This is not the first such incursion. In May 2023, similar raids aimed to liberate areas near the border and establish a buffer zone to protect Ukrainian civilians. Those assaults, like these recent ones, were eventually repelled by Russian forces. Ukrainian officials maintain no direct involvement, claiming these groups operate autonomously, but with Ukrainian-supplied weapons. This raises concerns about the use of Western-supplied arms within Russia, potentially violating agreements between Ukraine and its allies. The significance of these raids lies beyond immediate military gains. They serve a powerful propaganda tool for both sides. For the Legion, these attacks highlight perceived vulnerabilities in Russia's border defenses and expose potential discontent within Russia towards the war. They aim to boost Ukrainian morale and demonstrate the war's reach into Russian territory. Russia, on the other hand, portrays these raids as distractions from Ukrainian losses elsewhere on the battlefield. These cross-border operations are likely to continue despite their limited potential for establishing a permanent presence inside Russia. They represent a complex information war alongside the ongoing physical conflict, with each side aiming to control the narrative and exploit vulnerabilities in the other's position. Next, tensions rise between Lithuania and Russia as the Baltic nation accuses Russian intelligence of orchestrating the recent attack on Leonid Volkov, a prominent figure in the Russian opposition. On March 12th, Volkov, former chief of staff to the late Alexei Navalny, was assaulted near his home in Vilnius. The brutal attack, involving hammers and tear gas, left Volkov with a broken arm and other injuries. Initially, Lithuanian officials condemned the incident as a planned operation, but refrained from naming any suspects. However, the narrative shifted on March 16th, with a significant announcement by the Lithuanian State Security Department, VSD. The VSD alleges that the attack was Russian-organized and implemented with the intent to disrupt the activities of the Russian opposition, particularly in the context of the upcoming Russian presidential elections. While acknowledging the severity of the accusation, Lithuanian Prime Minister sought to reassure citizens, stating that the threat level within the country hasn't risen. He characterized such acts as provocations and a potential consequence of the upcoming pseudo-elections in Russia. The accusation aligns with past allegations of Russia using its intelligence services abroad to silence opposition figures. Cases like the poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko and Alexei Navalny himself come to mind. This incident holds particular significance due to the heightened tensions between Russia and the West in light of the ongoing war in Ukraine. It potentially reflects a pattern of tactics employed by President Putin during previous elections. By concocting external threats, Putin may aim to boost voter turnout and portray himself as a necessary strongman figure. The Lithuanian government's accusation will likely strain relations with Russia further. The coming days will be crucial in observing the response from both sides and the potential impact on the Russian opposition. Next, as Ukrainian aerial attacks continue to target the Russian city of Belgorod, Moscow reports thwarting a large-scale incursion by Ukrainian saboteurs. However, the details remain murky, raising questions about the veracity of the claims. Early reports emerged from Russian Telegram channels, with authorities searching for a Land Cruiser with a Red Cross logo and diplomatic plates, suspected of carrying Ukrainian saboteurs. This vehicle was reportedly stopped and later released without finding any Ukrainian personnel. Later reports painted a vastly different picture. Russian state media, citing the Ministry of Defense, claimed heavy casualties inflicted on a large group of Ukrainian saboteurs attempting to infiltrate the Belgorod region. The report details airstrikes and artillery fire, eliminating 195 Ukrainian soldiers and destroying armored vehicles. Crucially, this information has not been confirmed by Ukrainian authorities or independent sources. The stark difference between initial reports and the official narrative casts doubt on the details of the alleged large-scale attack. The situation in Belgorod remains tense with ongoing aerial attacks. The lack of independent verification of the claimed Ukrainian incursion leaves room for speculation about the true nature of the events. This incident highlights the challenges of discerning truth during wartime, where information can be used as a weapon alongside physical attacks. Further developments in the coming hours and days may shed more light on what transpired near Belgorod. Now, we delve into the European Union's recent efforts to combat arms trafficking. The EU has reached an interim agreement that aims to significantly improve the bloc's ability to track and regulate the import and export of civilian firearms. This move comes amidst growing concerns about organized crime, terrorism, and the illegal flow of weapons within Europe. The EU estimates a staggering number of illegal firearms, 35 million currently in civilian hands. That's a cause for serious alarm, especially considering the reported 630,000 stolen weapons. These figures highlight the critical need for a more robust system to monitor and control firearms. The EU's proposed plan is a multi-pronged approach. Here are the key elements. Replacing the paper-based mess of individual member state systems, a central electronic licensing system will be established. This will streamline the process for law enforcement to verify weapons and for legitimate businesses to register them. Integration with existing databases is also planned, allowing for faster information sharing. Member states will be required to submit annual reports detailing the import, export, and value of firearms for civilian use. This includes the number of authorizations and refusals for permits, providing valuable insights into trends and potential loopholes. Additionally, a dedicated reporting system for firearm seizures will help assess the effectiveness of the new measures. To combat the proliferation of untraceable ghost guns, a new marking system will be mandatory for manufacturers and dealers. This ensures proper identification of all weapons and components, making it significantly harder for them to disappear into the black market. The war in Ukraine has undoubtedly played a role in accelerating the EU's focus on arms control. The potential for illegal weapons to spill over from the conflict zone into the EU has heightened concerns. However, the rise in violent crime linked to firearms within Europe was already a pressing issue. Many of the weapons currently circulating are believed to originate from the former Soviet Union and the former Yugoslavia, highlighting the need for stricter controls. The proposed measures still need the final green light from the EU Parliament and Council. Once approved, the electronic licensing and marking regulations will be immediately put into effect. This comprehensive approach aims to transform Europe from a potential transit point for illegal arms into a region with robust control mechanisms. The success of the EU's plan could have far-reaching consequences. As Bernd Langer, chair of the International Trade Committee, points out, Europe-sourced weapons contribute to violence in other parts of the world as well. By tightening its grip on the internal arms trade, the EU hopes to not only improve domestic security, but also contribute to a global decrease in firearms-related crimes. Finally, we delve into the recent controversy surrounding the European Union's green farming policies. After facing months of fierce protests from farmers, the EU has proposed significant changes that weaken some key environmental regulations. Let's unpack the situation and explore the potential consequences. For months, European farmers have been making their voices heard through large-scale protests. Frustration boiled over as national governments grappled with demonstrations that included blocked roads, burning tires, and even clashes with police. Farmers felt their livelihoods were threatened by regulations that, in their view, stifled their way of life. These included restrictions on land use, pesticide bans, and cuts to subsidies. The EU acknowledged shortcomings in its initial proposals and moved to loosen some restrictions. However, these changes come at a cost to the bloc's environmental goals. Key green farming practices like minimizing tillage, GEIC 5, planting cover crops, GEIC 6, crop rotation, GEIC 7, and setting aside land for biodiversity, GEIC 8, are no longer mandatory requirements for receiving EU subsidies. The policy shift has sparked a heated debate. While farmers welcome the relaxed regulations, scientists and environmental groups warn of long-term consequences. They argue that abandoning these practices could lead to soil degradation, increased reliance on chemical pesticides, and a decline in biodiversity. Some believe the EU's U-turn is a tactical move to appease farmers ahead of upcoming elections. Climate Commissioner Wopke Hoekstra hints at the possibility of stricter regulations after the polls. Others suggest that improved farm profitability might pave the way for better environmental compliance in the future. An anonymous EU official emphasizes the need to consider not just environmental sustainability, but also economic and social well-being of farmers. The proposed legislation to weaken the green farming rules is expected to pass soon. National governments have already begun easing requirements in response to the protests. After the elections, environmental groups are likely to push for a renewed commitment to sustainable farming practices. The farmers' protests serve as a stark reminder that policymakers need to collaborate with stakeholders when crafting environmental policies. The original green farming proposals placed a significant burden on farmers, who also face challenges from the war in Ukraine and competition from cheaper imports. While the EU's policy shift offers some short-term relief for farmers, it raises questions about Europe's long-term commitment to sustainable agriculture. Whether the EU prioritizes political expediency or fosters a more inclusive dialogue with farmers will determine the future of the Green Deal and the environmental impact of European agriculture.